الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So for the rose for Malay, please complete the salt straight and the rose fill in the gaps. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, there will be tafsir after the remaining salah. Brothers are requested to participate. Jazakallah. جو حضرت نماز سے فارغ ہو گئے ان سے گزارش کی کہ آگے قریب تشریف لے. پیپل ہو کمپلیٹڈ دی صلاۃ ریکویسٹڈ ٹو کم فارورڈ. انشاءاللہ مفتی ابو بکر صاحب ول بی کنٹینیوئنگ ہز تفسیر فرام دی اما پارا ویئر ہی لیفٹ آف لاسٹ ویک. جزاک اللہ.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my most beloved master, our leader, our Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that today we have the honor of sitting in the masjid to discuss the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Today, inshaAllah, we will continue and move on to the explanation and interpretation of Suratul Qari'ah. And very much similar to the surahs before Suratul Qari'ah, like Suratul Takathur, Suratul Asr, Suratul Humuza, and also similar to the surahs after Al-Qari'ah, all of these surahs and chapters, they have many factors in similarity. And they are that all of these surahs, they discuss the conditions of the day of Qiyamah, of the good people and the sinful people and the kuffar. For example, in the previous surah we had لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, you will see the fire. We had حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ, we had إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. So in all of these surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Quran is coming to an end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a final reminder that, O Muslimano, be careful upon which path you tread. For those of you who do good, you will see Jannah, you will enter into Jannah. And those of you who don't, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, most definitely you will see the fire. اللهم احفظنا من. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So moving on to Surah Al-Qari'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, the Surah Al-Qari'ah is a Makki surah. It was revealed, and many of these surahs, they are all Makki surahs. They were revealed in the earlier days of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Qari'ah, Man Qari'ah, wa ma adraka man Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah comes from the word Al-Qar'u and is past participle is Qara'a with a Ayn. With a Hamza, it would mean to read Qara'a, like Iqra. And with a Ayn, Qara'a, the meaning is to strike or to knock or to rattle. Like for example, a person can say in Arabic, قَرَعَ رَجُلٌ الْبَابَ, the man knocked on the door. So قَرَعَ. So Al-Qari'ah, many different scholars have chosen various different meanings. Some have translated as the rattler. Some have translated as the striking event or the striking disaster. Mal Qari'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Mal Qari'ah, what is the striking event? Wama adraka mal Qari'ah, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will make you understand what the striking event is? And to conclude, Al-Qari'ah is another name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to describe the day of Qiyamah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various places gives the day of Qiyamah various different names. For example, we have Al-Haqqah, Mal-Haqqah, Wama Adraka Mal-Haqqah. That has a different meaning as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given different names to try and give us a different message each time. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to the fact that the day of Qiyamah is going to be a very, very difficult time. And it's going to be a time of ruthlessness. And by way of indication, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that this day is going to come. So prepare for this day. When you are talking to someone and you describe a future event in a negative way, generally speaking, the purpose here is to warn that, you know, if, for example, there's a competition taking place, for example, and you say to the participants that the final is about to come up, and then you say to the participants that the final day is very difficult, is ruthless. So what are you saying to the participants? You are saying to them, you are telling them in advance that prepare for this day, because it's not easy, this day that's coming, it's not easy for you. Make sure you are prepared in advance. That's the underlying meaning here. So same here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that is describing the day of Qiyamah in this way, that it's a rattling event, it's a striking event. So the underlying meaning here is to warn us to prepare for this very, very, very difficult day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe this day, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسِ, the day when the people, كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ, will be like scattered moths. Al-Farash means moths, those flying insects that generally fly around at night and they are attracted to the light. So sometimes if you leave the window open, then moths get into the house. And Al-Mabthuth means scattered. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the people on the day of Qiyamah as being like scattered moths. So why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described us in this manner? The ulama, rahimahumullah, give various different reasons for this. One reason that the scholars have given is because on the day of Qiyamah, the people will be many. All the people from Hazrat Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam to the last person to be born will all be gathered, and that number is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, maybe in the multiple trillions, Allahu alam, more than that even. Every single human, jinn, to ever be born will be gathered on this day, on the day of Qiyamah. So when you think of scattered moths, they generally, you think of many, many of them, not just one or two. If there was just one or two, you wouldn't describe them as scattered moths. If there's so many of them, you would say that these are like scattered moths. Number two, there's an indication in this towards the weakness of mankind on this day. You know, the way in the dunya, we have free will. And we can even sometimes look a little bit tough. You know, been to the gym a little bit, the muscles are getting big, and you can look a bit mean, a bit intimidating, you look a bit strong. On the day of Qiyamah, every single one of us will look weak. It will be a very difficult day, and اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. We will be helpless on that day. We will not be able to do anything. Previously we heard the hadith, لا تزال قدم ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن خمس. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that the feet of Ibn Adam will not move until he is questioned with five things. In the Quran, in Surah Yasin, Allah describes the day that the mouths will be sealed and the body parts will speak. So these descriptions make us understand that we will be in a state of helplessness, and we will be our power of free will will be gone, and we will have to do as we are commanded. We will not be able to move a limb without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not have free will on this day. So some ulama say that there is an indication towards weakness, that scattered moths, they can be defeated very easily. If you stamp on them, they'll die. What strength do they have? You can get, you know, like a spray, chemical spray, and spray them, they'll drop. What strength do they have? So some ulama say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to the fact that on this day we will be in a very weak state. And number three, some ulama say that, you know the way moths, they fly like they're always fluttering their wings. And then normally when they're flying around the light, you can see the wings, the shadow of the wings in the light. So some ulama say that on this day, mankind will be in a state of restlessness. And due to this restlessness, we'll be moving around and we'll be moving our arms, and you know, we will not be in a comfortable state. The way the moths, they look very restless, we will also be in a restless state. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, and from those who are under the shade of the Arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Some ulama say that the reason Allah has described, this come to mind now, the reason why Allah has described this day as Al-Qari'ah is because it will strike us with its horrors. There are many, many horrors of the day of Qiyamah. May Allah give us the ability to do those a'mal which will help us on the day of Qiyamah. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِحْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. And the mountains will be like color-coded wool. And the mountains will be like color-coded wool. So here another comparison has happened. The reason for this is that when Qiyamah actually happens, when the world will end, you know, it's famously known, and the famous hadith that when the trumpet is blown, every single human will die and the earth in its entirety will be destroyed. The buildings will fall, the mountains, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is describing, that the mountains will be destroyed and they'll turn into dust. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the mountains as becoming like color-coded wool. And why will... So first of all, they'll become like pieces of wool, right? Number two, why will they be in different colors? So the ulama of tafsir state that mountains, as they are now in the world, they have various different colors. Yeah, some mountains are brown, and some mountains are very black. Once we were traveling with some of our teachers, Sheikh Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damal Barakatuhum, in Albania. And over there they had mountains that were covered in greenery, entirely out of greenery. So the mountain looked green over there, totally green. And some mountains are red, some mountains or white because of the snow. So we have various different colors. So when they will be destroyed, the color will remain. And so there'll be various different colors, but they'll be destroyed and they'll become like dust and like wool. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the destruction that the blowing of the trumpet will have on the actual earth, where everything will be destroyed. Another indication to the fact that we have so much pride over our wealth and our land and our money. But what's going to happen? Either we'll die or he will die. Sooner or later, one of us is going to die. And then sooner or later, all of us will die. So when we die, someone else will take over our land that we had so much pride over. The day of Qiyamah will come, all of that will be destroyed as well. Some people, you know, have such beautiful land and gardens, and my house is so nice and beautiful, and my house is bigger than your house, and I've got this many bedrooms, and yeah? But Qiyamah will come and he will destroy all of this. So another indication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is, and it can be, that, O Muslimano, you have so much pride over your wealth, and again an indication towards al-hakum wa-takathur as well. But a time will come, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِحْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. The mountains, if the mountains are going to become like wool, then obviously the mountains are probably the biggest single objects in the world. So obviously everything else, houses and skyscrapers and the pyramids and whatever else, Eiffel Tower, it's all going to be destroyed. So here there's an indication towards that also. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. As for that person whose scales will be heavy, he will be in a contented living or in a happy life, a life fi عِيشَة. عِيشَة means life, and رَاضِيَة, such a life that he will be happy with. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. And as for that person whose scales are light, فَأُمُّهُ هَوِيَةٌ, his destination will be هَوِيَةٌ. And I'll get on to هَوِيَةٌ in just a second. Here there is another discussion. It's an important discussion. And the discussion is that of nature of aqidah. And it's a very important part of our aqidah as well. And part of our aqidah is that we believe that the day of Qiyamah, our actions will be weighed. Now there's a group of people who came and they said that no, our actions won't be weighed. How can actions be weighed? Ya Amal, they don't have a physical presence. So how can they be weighed? It doesn't make sense. And they denied the reality of this. In response to this, very famously, and we hear this discussion in more or less every single graduation of Bukhari Sharif, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has concluded his Sahih with this chapter. وقول الله عز وجل ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن وقال مجاهد القسطاس العدل بالرومية وإلى إلى آخر. And Imam Bukhari rahimullah has triggered this discussion at a very 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 final chapter of his masterpiece Sahih al-Bukhari. And through this chapter, he establishes the fact that no, actually, the actions of mankind will be weighed. Now, inshallah, we will come across this discussion later in Surah Al-A'raf. Inshallah, if Allah gives us life, then we will continue. May inshallah give us tawfiq, we will reach there one day as well. And there's other places, we may also discuss it there, but now that this is the first place that it has come, we will try to conclude this discussion. The first thing that comes to mind The first, you could say the first question that comes to mind is what I've already just mentioned, that how can actions of mankind which don't have a physical presence, how can they be weighed? Now, as people living in the 21st century, this question is very, very easily answered. Today we live in a world where anything and everything can be measured. For example, we can measure heat and we can measure temperature. It doesn't have a physical presence. We feel the effects of heat and we feel the effects of temperature. But we can't actually take heat and put it in a bottle and say, look, here, I've got heat in here. Yeah, you have the effects of heat. It doesn't have a physical presence, yet we can measure it. We can take a thermometer out and we can say that today is 25 degrees Celsius. We wish it's 25 degrees Celsius, but you can say that. And you can say that today is minus 2 degrees and etc. We can measure, literally, we can measure, today we live in a world where we can measure anything and everything. So, that is one question that is that can be answered, that the way that we, mankind, have developed technology to weigh things and to measure things that don't have a physical presence, like the speed of wind. Wind doesn't have a physical presence, yet we can measure it, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He who is Malikul Mulk, He is the King, He is the Creator of all things. How can we deny the fact that He has the ability to measure something that doesn't have a physical presence? However, even if, let's say, for argument's sake, we don't accept this, remember that this answer is sufficient for us in living in the 21st century. But what would the people who lived 500, 600, 700 years ago who didn't have this kind of technology, what answer would be there for them? So there's other answers as well. We look at the treasures of ahadith, and we find many ahadith where actually the a'mal have been given a physical presence. For example, in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a person's good deeds will come to him in the grave like a beautiful person. They'll be given they'll manifest into what looks like a beautiful person, and then the person will help him in the grave. In other hadith, we find in one hadith that a person who doesn't give zakah, his wealth will turn into a huge snake and he'll grab him and he'll bite him and he'll say, "Ana maluk, ana maluk, ana kanzuk. I am your wealth, I am your wealth, I am your treasures. What have you turned me into today?" Yeah? And so on and so forth. Other times we find other ahadith. For example, the hadith, very famous hadith, where a person comes and he has 99 books full as far as the eyesight, and they are full of bad deeds. And then, the person, he's not in a good way. And then on the other side, he has one piece of paper. For his good deeds, he has one piece of paper. And he says, "Oh, yaar, what are we going to do? One piece of paper, 99 books, I'm done today, I'm done for." But then what happens is that they put the piece of paper into the right scale, and then they put the 99 books, and then the piece of paper, it outweighs. And what's written on it? "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah." So here again we find that a'mal have been given a physical presence. They've been turned into books and they've been turned into papers. Other times, there are other ahadith as well, where good deeds are given a physical presence. In other ahadith, we find that the person themselves will be weighed. Now, there are many. So basically, when we look at the Quran and ahadith, we find that in some ahadith, the a'mal are weighed. In some ahadith, the person themselves are weighed. And in some ahadith, the books are weighed. The fact of the matter is, that's fine. it's possible that all three obeyed. And the reality of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But what we can establish from all of these ahadith and from the verses of the Holy Quran, that yes, a weighing ceremony will take place. Unlike what some groups have said, that the weighing will not take place. No. It's very clearly in the Quran, Allah says, وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْحَقِّ. Yeah, the weighing on that day is the truth. It's a reality. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ. And then over here also it says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. So that is one fact that we can establish, that the weighing on the day of Qiyamah will take place. Now the nature of the weighing, how the weighing will take place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It's possible that there are many different types of weighing that will take place, and just as we have found in the hadith. And finally, to conclude, inshallah, 5 more minutes. One other point on the subject of the weighing. When we look at the hadith and the Quran, we find that, like Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimullah has written, and it's also found in Tafsir al-Mazhari, that when we look at the treasures of a hadith, it seems that on the day of Qiyamah, two weighings will take place. Two weighings. The first weighing will be that of Iman. The first weighing will be that of Iman, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call all of mankind, and the people who have Iman, and they say that this is what these verses are referring to. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. Whoever's scales will be heavy. This is, according to some scholars, this is talking about Iman. That the people who have Iman, their scales will be heavy with Iman. And so this first weighing will be for Iman and non-Iman. And the people who don't have Iman, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, they'll go straight to Jahannam. So the kuffar will just go straight to Jahannam. Their a'mal specifically will not be weighed. Whereas the first weighing, the Muslims will pass through. Okay, you've got Iman, right, come through. The non-Muslims, you don't have Iman, go straight to Jahannam. Then the second weighing will take place. And in this second weighing, it will be the weighing of the a'mal. Right, okay, you know when we hear that a person whose good deeds will be more, he'll go to Jannah. A person whose bad deeds will be more, he'll go to Jahannam for a period of time. Then once his punishment is finished, he'll be washed with Zamzam, and then he'll be entered into Jannah. So this is the second way. Now in the Quran generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention this second part. It's talking about the weighing between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. The second part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in for a certain period of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves, there's a bit of ambiguity there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go into too much detail in this regard. And again, that is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on us. And so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever's scales will be light, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً, his destination will be hawiya. Now here, one other point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word for destination. And the reason means mother. So the reason why the ulama make the connection between the two is that, generally speaking, a person, wherever he is in the world, he always returns to his mother. He stays by his mother. He comes from his mother, and then he continuously throughout his life, he returns to his mother, which one of us doesn't go to see their mother? Yeah, and we try to live near our parents and things like that. So the way that we always tend to stay close to our mothers and we return to them, and inshallah in Jannah we will also return to them and be in their company, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here uses the word for the word as his destination will be hawiya. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ, Allah says, and what will make you understand, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what hawiya is? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains that hawiya is narun hamiya, a blazing fire. So just likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Jahannam with various different words as well. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Jahannam as hawiya, which basically means a burning fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those people who have hisaba yasira. Again, similar topic this week, but I think the point that was the ulama have most commonly gone into when talking about this surah, is which is different to the other surah, is the whole discussion of the scales. That it's a, you know, some people have said that it's not a reality, but then through this surah and through various ahadith, we established that yes, actually the weighing of this the a'mal will be a reality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our weighing of our a'mal be very easy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. Rather, we say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us pass away in such a state that we don't have any bad deeds, that we have done istighfar, all our bad deeds are finished, and the various different stages of post-death are made easy for us, starting from the qabr. And like Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and he would weep most when he used to hear about the qabr. And he said that, you know, the qabr is the first stage of the akhirah. If his qabr, time in the qabr goes well, then all the rest of the stages of the akhirah will go well as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his happiness. Subhan Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.